We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama, what a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the game plan on the Sooner Sports Podcast, and this is a first for us in a while, and I guess maybe, Toby, when you think about it, this ends up being the more common way we knock out our early week podcast because after the football regular season wraps up, there's no more Monday press conference. So for the most part, you're out and about doing basketball and other events. We don't get to see each other on Mondays to tape it. I don't know if I like this or not.
I miss you. No, I'm with you. We don't see as much each other as much once the football regular season is done. So that's my loss. You've been traveling the globe doing women's basketball and Big 12 radio and all kinds of stuff. So it's good to chat with you again.
Yeah, man, let's get after it. So tomorrow, as we tape this, it's tomorrow. But Tuesday is our final spotlight before the winter break. And our producer, Grant Way, just sent me a note. I think I'm on with Jess. And he asked, all right, give me your favorite Kyler Murray moment for the year. And I'm still struggling with it. I've texted him like three different plays right now, and I'm still thinking of more. I mean, there's 100 that you could pick from. But on the heels of his Heisman Trophy win, Toby, do you have a favorite from Kyler this year?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say, probably number one is the touchdown pass to Grant Calcaterra in the Big 12 championship game. Just because of the importance of it, I think the beauty of it and the importance of it are in large part why he won the Heisman Trophy in combination with Tua's tough day. But ironically, one of the biggest moments of the year, I think, was in their only loss. I think the run against Texas in the fourth quarter was otherworldly.
Yeah.
And so that would have to rank pretty high. I remember vividly the opener against Florida Atlantic. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was maybe even on the opening possession of the game when he circled around and ended up getting 15 yards or so, but ran about 60 yards to do it. And I remember Teddy Lehman, as soon as he went out of bounds, Teddy said, I think it's going to be a fun year. And I thought that was pretty good foreshadowing on it. Been so many, either through the air or on the ground. It was an electric season, and it was exciting when he dropped back to pass because you never knew when Hollywood might go streaking open or CD might make a one-handed catch. But it got ramped up even more exciting whenever he would pull it down and you'd say, all right, here we go. Let's see what he's got in store. And he'd take off skittering through a secondary. So quite a season.
Isn't it amazing to and again, everyone forgets their hot takes before the season, but we live it. And whenever we're very much firm on a belief, I know that it stays with us more than maybe it does others who maybe wish and wash and go back and forth. But I still, it's laughable now to look back at the concern level of his commitment during the offseason, isn't it? People that were losing their minds about, oh my gosh, is he gonna be focused? Is he too worried about baseball? I mean, you want to talk about just an absolute show. And I don't just mean showing people. Toby, that's the thing that wowed me more based on the narrative that had been created coming into this season was the love this guy has for football. It's going to be really hard for him to hang up the cleats. All this stuff you're hearing about, well, maybe I still want to do football, it's not a negotiating ploy. I believe the dude really loves football.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I have thought a lot recently about the baseball season and how much angst there was about him wanting to play baseball. And does that mean he's not 100% dedicated to the football team? And, you know, you gotta be there with your guys when you're lifting and through the off season and the spring and everything. And I'm not saying there's not some validity to that, but he was able to overcome. An incredible year, an incredible athlete. I agree with you. I know he loves football. And I don't know if he's going to hang up the cleats or not. I've heard everything that Scott Boras has said. And I firmly believe him. I believe that he believes what he's saying. But it'll be interesting at the end of this year, because I think there will be options that will present themselves for Kyler. And maybe it's against the will of his agent. Maybe it's too costly to go down a certain road that he would like to go down. But I don't think it's a one-lane road he's on. I think that there is the option for him just to say, all right, that's it. I'm a baseball player for the rest of my life. And that's probably the easiest path in front of him. And he'll be great at it if that's what he decides to do. But I think if he decides that he wants to be a little more adventuresome, that somehow, some way that could be accomplished. And it will create some very interesting conversations between himself and the Oakland A's and Scott Boras and the NFL people. And there's going to be some hard decisions to be made. But, you know, when you're that elite – of an athlete, you know, woe is me. The decisions that
It'll be interesting to follow. I mean, I can't think of any other way to put it. I'm fascinated by it. But Toby, now the focus goes from the individual award and the worthiness of it and the seventh for Oklahoma and back-to-back quarterbacks winning it from the same school for the first time ever to the Orange Bowl. And we've got time, but yet as this post, we're only 18 days away. So we're going to have at the very least, two or three shows together before we get there. But some of your early thoughts. I did the film room show last week. We got to touch on it just a little bit through a couple of the podcasts. But what have been some of your early thoughts as you've dug into Bama a bit?
Well, I think, you know, from the positive side of things, first off, I think that Alabama hasn't seen a team with the speed and quickness of Oklahoma. Now, we don't know the status of Hollywood. So, but even without him, that's true. With him, it's even more dynamic. But there's no team Alabama's played, and this includes Georgia, that is as fast and flamboyant offensively as OU is. And in the past, anyway, that has proven to give Alabama a little bit of problems. Certainly the easiest example is the Sugar Bowl against Trevor Knight in Oklahoma a few years ago, but there's been even more examples that don't include Oklahoma. So I think that it'll be real interesting to see if Alabama can come up with a better way to defend Oklahoma and the spread and the high-flying speed than they have in the past. I think especially early in that game, Oklahoma could have some success just catching them by surprise with how athletic. Also, in preparation for Alabama, they're not a tremendously tricky team to get ready for. You know what they're going to do. They don't try to trick you. They're better than you. So defensively, they're going to line up in what they do, and they're going to do it. And so when you're getting ready, a film work and all that kind of stuff, it's not complicated. It's just really hard to beat them because they're so good. On the other side of things, I think my initial concern, my greatest concern about this game is whether Alabama can just line up and run it at Oklahoma, and there's not anything Oklahoma can do about it. You know, I think back to Army, to Texas, when teams would go on 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-minute scoring drives,
yep.
And it wouldn't be big plays. It would just be 3, 4 yards at a time, but Oklahoma couldn't get off the field defensively. And it would do two things. It would put points on the board, and it would tire out your defense. That's one. But two, it would keep Kyler Murray and that Oklahoma offense on the sidelines. And I worry that Alabama's big enough and strong enough that they can do that if they want. Not that they're going to recreate the triple option or anything, but, you know, they got a big old offensive line and big running backs and a running back, a quarterback, whichever one they use, that's mobile as well. And whether or not Oklahoma, if they just run it at them, can do anything about it, I think is a worry. I don't see any other way you can defend Alabama than to just absolutely load up on the run defensively and just hope that your corners can hold up in man coverage. And that's scary because you got Jerry Jeudy and some other NFL caliber wide receivers out there. But I don't see any other way you can do it against Bama other than load up on the run, run blitz, whatever you got to do to keep them from killing you by 1,000 paper cuts and hope they can't connect on big plays in the passing game. I think if Jalen Hurts is the quarterback, that increases your chances there. He's not as good of a passer. He's an adequate passer, but he's not as good of a passer as Tua is. And if Tua is the quarterback, you got to worry about his mobility a little bit. But those are my initial thoughts still 2.5 weeks out.
I like it. Hey, T-Row, I'll let you go on this. We've talked a lot of football, but we're 11, 12 minutes in, and we haven't been able to talk about this incredible start for Lon Kruger's team. I know you've enjoyed every minute of it so far, and, man, that was just dominating against Wichita State on Saturday.
Well, I tell you, I am put me in the category of surprised. I'll stop short of saying shocked because that would be rude, I think. But I'm surprised at how well they've played, I guess, this early. I thought this team might come together as the year goes along and by the time conference play rolls around, be tough. But I'm surprised how well they've played so early in the season. They have completely bought into playing defense. And they've played better defense than an Oklahoma basketball team I've seen in a long time. I mean, they have completely sold out to clamping you down. And whether it was Wichita State or Notre Dame or whoever they've played early in the season, it's been difficult for opponents to just find open shots, much less make them. So that's fun to watch. They are legitimately deep. A lot of teams say they're deep early in the year and they'll play a bunch of bodies. And then eventually you'll kind of weed it down to the 6 or 7 guys you trust. And the other guys have kind of played themselves out of minutes. And nobody's done that on this team. Everybody who's been asked to play has been productive. And so Lon Kruger has continued to be able to throw 9, 10, and 11 guys out there on the court. And by the time it gets midway through the second half, he's got the fresher team. And time again, you've seen them be able to pull away from opponents midway through the second half. So, and I think getting 2 wins without Jamoney McNeese in the lineup is huge.
Yes.
Especially against Notre Dame and Wichita State. I told Kevin Henry on the air Saturday, if you had told me Money was going to miss the next two games, I would have been pretty happy with a split. But to go 2-0 and not have him in the lineup, it's great to win those games. I think it also did something that'll pay dividends down the line, because if you watch that Notre Dame game, the first 5 or 6 minutes, they got dominated on the boards. And you saw a bunch of guys who I think were looking around waiting for Jamoney to go get the rebound and had to say, oh, that's right, we don't have him. We're going to have to take care of this. And the rest of that game, they rebounded fantastically. They ended up out-rebounding Notre Dame, and they dominated the boards against Wichita State. I think they out-rebounded them by 19. And you had Christian James and Brady Manick and Christian Doolittle and Matt Freeman and even guards coming down, Rashard Odoms, and rebounding the basketball with ferocity. And now you're going to throw Jamoney back in to that, to a team with that attitude now. Hopefully they'll continue it and not just rely on him to go get rebounds. And I think it's going to pay off on down the line. So it's fun. This will be a good game Saturday. USC's got a future pro on their team. It's going to be great to be in Tulsa. We got so many great OU fans up in Green Country, and I think that's going to be a fun atmosphere. From what I've heard, OU's rolling out their new uniforms
on
Saturday night, the anthracite unis, so that'll be fun. And then we've got, the only home game in – I think the only home game in December, right? Or did we play one – or I think it's the only one in a long time when Creighton –
yep.
Comes here next Tuesday, a week from tonight. Creighton's got a really good squad. And then a fun trip to Chicago right before Christmas to take on Northwestern at their place. That's a good team. Northwestern only lost to Michigan by 2 the other night, and I think Michigan's number 5 team in the country right now. So, and then it's Big 12 play after that. So it's been a great start to the year. 8-1, knocking on the door of the top 25. I think the expectations have gone from a team that's rebuilding this year to a team that has a shot to be an NCAA tournament team again.
Yeah, that December 18th, Toby, you're right. That's the only game in the Lloyd Noble Center in the month of December until conference play starts. So should be fun here in a couple of weeks. Toby, enjoy what is a little bit of a laid-back week this week before Saturday night for basketball, and the madness begins for football next week, man. Thanks for your time.
All right, Chris. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, thanks to T-Row, Toby Rowland, the voice of the Sooners, for joining us. Let's wrap things up by hearing Kyler Murray's acceptance speech from New York as he won the 7th Heisman Trophy in program history.
Oh, man, this is crazy. I've worked my whole life to fulfill my goals, and but at the same time, man, I know there's a higher power looking down on me. He enables me to do all things, and for that, I'm grateful for the many blessings that God has blessed me with. And I also, I want to congratulate my boys here too, and Dwayne for, their two historic seasons. It's been an honor to be with you guys the past 2 days and meet y'all, be with y'all's families. And I just want to say congratulations to y'all. to the Heisman Trust and voters, man, I just want to say thank you for your support. This is crazy. This is an honor. Something that, I'll never forget, and something I'll always cherish for the rest of my life. I want to say to Coach Stoops, you and your family have been nothing but supportive to me since the day I stepped foot on campus. I want to say thank you for, just giving me the opportunity to be part of such a historic program and great university. It's Coach Riley. Yeah. Man, nobody really knows how hard these past couple years have been for me, but you and my family, and you through it all, you pushed me, you kept me going, you kept me focused, and. You pushed me harder than any coach ever has, and I just want to say thank you for, believing in me and allowing me to be the quarterback of this team and the leader of this team. So thank you, Coach. to my boys back home, my linemen, Bobby Evans, Bennett Powers, Creed Humphrey, Drew Samia, and Cody Ford. Man, you guys keep me upright. You keep me safe. You may hurt my pockets on Wednesday at Tea Cafe, but I'd run through a wall for you boys, man. I love y'all. To my playmakers, my receivers, running backs, you guys, you make me look so much better than I am. You go to battle for me every Saturday, and I can't ask for much more. So I just want to thank you, thank each and every single one of you guys. To my defense, my scout team, man, I wouldn't be up here if it weren't for you guys. You know, you push me to be the best of me every single day. So thank you to y'all. I also want to thank, the nutrition staff, the strength coaches, and the training staff for, helping me get to this point. Lastly, and to my parents, my family, my dad, I think it goes without saying that, you're a legend to me. You taught me everything that I know about this game. And I honestly feel like you should be up here with me, because I really wouldn't be up here if it weren't for you introducing me to this game. So thank you, and I love you. To my mom, my best friend, man, I could be up here all day talking about you. But, for me, I'm just thankful that you're my mother, and I love you. To my uncle, my godfather, Uncle Calvin and Marky J, I can't explain how much y'all mean to me. Y'all have been with me every step of the way, no matter what it was. I could go to y'all in times of need, and I just want to say I love you and thank you. To my family back home, my brothers and sister, you mean the world to me, and your love and support, it means everything. It means the world to me, so thank you. And I just need to reiterate that, I know this is an individual award, but I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my teammates, my family, coaches, and Sooner Nation. So to everybody, I want to say thank you, and Boomer.
Kyler Murray, cloud nine, as you might imagine, and I would think business is picking up at Tea Cafe. Want to thank everyone for downloading and listening to the Sooner Sports Podcast, as always brought to you by the Riverwind and Allstate. We'll be back with the coaches show on Thursday morning for your download pleasure. And pardon me, that's on Friday morning, isn't it? Friday morning, we'll have the download for the Lon Krueger and Sherry Cole show. And then also on Friday, we will have the tailgate to get you ready for OU, USC, and College Hoops, and more previews of what's coming up in the Orange Bowl. Until then, everyone have a great week, and Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.